pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me.
It's time once again for It's a Good Life, coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
It's quite natural for us to wonder how the tribulation period will start. We're studying the tribulation, that is, dispensation number 7, and we find this in the Bible. Well, how does it start? I believe that the tribulation period will start with a covenant. This will be a covenant made by the prince of Daniel chapter 9 and verse 26. I believe he's going to make a peace treaty, in other words, a covenant with Israel. Daniel chapter 9 verse 26 says, "And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself, and the people of the prince that shall come." Now, this is verse 27, the prince spoken of. In verse 27, the prince shall come. This is not speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice verse 27 of Daniel chapter 9. "And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week." Now, this is a 7-year period. When we look at the term 1 week, that's 7 days, and it's represented there 7 years. Each day represents a year. This would be 1 week, or in other words, 7 years. And this is speaking of the prince of verse 26. And it goes on to say, "And in the midst of the week," this is the middle of the 7 years, "he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate." Now, of course, this is speaking what I've just read, Daniel chapter 9 and verse 26, 27. This is speaking of the middle of the week, and it's talking about the prince that shall come. That's the Antichrist. Revelation chapter 6 and verse 2. It says, "And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer." Now, Revelation chapter 6 and verse 2, we see the bow with no arrows. This indicates a peaceful beginning, a covenant. And as I've just said, I believe the prince is going to make a covenant with Israel. Now, the Judeo-Christian definition of a covenant is to admit somebody into full membership of a religious body or community. Now, by the covenant that the Antichrist is going to make with the Jews, by them doing that, by them making a covenant with this man of sin, they have welcomed him into their society as one of them. And I believe this action by the Jews opens the door for the Antichrist to gain full access, privileges, and admittance into all of their religious ceremonies. And therefore, in the middle of the tribulation, he, and that's the Antichrist, will desecrate the temple. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 15. "When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place." This is Daniel 9:27 now that he's speaking of here in Matthew 24. "Whoso readeth, let him understand." Now, Daniel chapter 9 and verse 27, it says this, "And in the midst of the week," this is the middle of the 7 years now that the Bible is speaking of, the middle of the 7-year tribulation period, it says that "he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations." You see, when the Antichrist comes, it's going to be a fulfillment of prophecy that we read of in Matthew 24 and verse 15, Matthew 24:15 is actually a prophecy of a prophecy of Daniel chapter 9 and verse 27, telling us that the abomination of desolation is going to stand in the holy place. That's in the temple, and he's going to make desolate. Now notice Daniel 9:27 again. He shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease and for the overspreading of abomination. Well, how does this start? Well, I've spoken of a covenant, but I believe there's going to be a war at the beginning of the tribulation period, or just, you know, after the church is gone in the rapture, after Jesus comes back for his bride, he says, come up hither, and we go to be with him. I believe there will be a war, and I believe this is the Gog and Magog, and I believe this is number one, Gog and Magog. I believe it's going to take place. I believe just before the tribulation starts, this is going to happen. And I believe just as there were two world wars, one and two, this first battle of Gog and Magog should be considered as number one. The number two battle of Gog and Magog will be at the end of the millennium, according to Revelation chapter 20. Now we know that it is the Lord who defeats Israel's enemies in the battle of Gog and Magog, number one. And the reason I say that is because we look at Ezekiel chapter 39, verses 1 through 8, where it says this, therefore, thou son of man, prophesy against Gog and say, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, and I will turn thee back and leave but the sixth part of thee, and will cause thee to come up from the north parts, and will bring thee upon the mountains of Israel. And I will smite the bow out of thy left hand, and will cause thine arrows to fall out of thy right hand. Thou shalt fall upon the mountains of Israel, thou and all thy bands, and the people that is with thee. I will give thee unto the ravenous birds of every sort, and to the beasts of the field to be devoured. Thou shalt fall upon the open field, for I have spoken it, saith the Lord God, and I will send a fire on Magog, and upon them that dwell carelessly in the isles, and they shall know that I am the Lord. So will I make my holy name known in the midst of my people Israel, and I will not let them pollute my holy name any more. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, the Holy One in Israel. Behold, it is come, and it is done, saith the Lord God. This is the day whereof I have spoken. Well, I believe that the Antichrist will possibly take credit for defeating those who come against Israel in the battle of Gog and Magog 1. And we just read about that battle in Ezekiel 39, 1 through 8. Well, what better timing and a better way to gain the confidence of Israel than for the Antichrist to take the credit for defeating those who come against Israel in the first battle of Gog and Magog? As I look at this, I understand that God is all-powerful. And the Bible tells us in Ezekiel that he's going to receive honor for this, but it doesn't say that he's going to receive the honor and glory right then. And I believe today, just as people are, they are taken under the spell, if I could use that term, of the devil, of the things of the world, of sin, I believe just as people today are taken by those things and confused and led astray, I believe that during that time, it will be possible for the Antichrist to take credit at that time for this battle of Gog and Magog of defeating the enemy who comes against Israel. And I believe that's how the covenant will come about. The door would be open for the Antichrist to make the peace covenant with Israel after claiming victory for Gog and Magog 1. Now, it will take 7 years to clean up after the first war of Gog and Magog. The tribulation lasts 7 years. There are no accidents with God. God knows everything. He is not taken by surprise. And what we study in Ezekiel 39 was written thousands of years ago. Ezekiel 39, verse 9 says, "And they that dwell in the cities of Israel shall go forth and shall set on fire and burn the weapons, both the shields and the bucklers, the bows and the arrows, and the hand staves and the spears, and they shall burn them with fire." How long? 7 years. Clean up, 7 years. Tribulation, 7 years. Is this just a coincidence? I don't think so. There are no accidents with God. We see no mention of the Antichrist either before or in connection with this battle. Evidently, he does not really make himself known until after the battle. I do not believe that people will really fully understand who he is until the middle of the tribulation, when he really shows himself, when he breaks the covenant with Israel, when he shows his true colors. In fact, the Antichrist breaks the covenant with Israel, as we read of in Revelation chapter 6 and Revelation chapter 13. Now, red indicates war. Keep that in mind. The ending of this peace treaty that the Antichrist has made with Israel will take place in the middle of the 7-year tribulation. It's going to end. Revelation chapter 6 and verse 4, that is, the covenant will end. "And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword." This is speaking of the Antichrist, who's causing turmoil, causing people to kill each other. Revelation 13, verses 5 through 7. "And there was given unto him," this is the Antichrist, "a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations." This is the middle of the tribulation period. Revelation 13, verses 5 through 7, that we've read, authority is given to the Antichrist to act for 42 months to make war with the saints. And verse 7 also says the Antichrist has been given power to overcome the saints, but it does not say that he overcomes them all. He only has the power to overcome them. He has the power, but he does not overcome everybody, every saint of God. Revelation 11 is the first explicit reference in Revelation to the beast. John no doubt recognized him as the fourth beast of Daniel's prophecy, Daniel 7 and verse 7. He will already have become sufficiently powerful as to a world leader, and he would have done away with the other beasts mentioned in Daniel. Do you know him today as your Savior? Please get saved today. Know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You don't have to enter into the tribulation. It would be virtually impossible for you to get saved. You need to get saved now. Today is the day of salvation. If you were to die right now, you would go into the pit of hell. And you need to trust Jesus right now as your Lord and Savior. Ask him into your heart right now. Admit you're a sinner and you can't save yourself, and you want Jesus to save you right now.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.